Wunsch erfüllen kann. Du sagst, dass ich mit dir allein das große Los gewann. Du kannst mir viel erzählen, doch ich hab dich längst durchschaut. Ich halte nichts von Häusern, die allein auf Sand gebaut. Oh, ich hab dich längst durchschaut. Mir sein. Du sagst, du grüßt die anderen Girls nur immer so zum Schein. Du kannst mir viel erzählen, doch ich hab dich längst durchschaut. Ich halte nichts von Häusern, die allein auf Sand gebaut. Ich hab dich längst durchschaut.
Ja. Radio Taranga. Allora.
Het is woensdagmiddag. 2:00 PM geweest. En dat betekent dat het tijd is voor Radio Taranga. Live met Dakar. Live met Osdorp. En live met ik weet niet waar allemaal nog meer.
Ja, hallo.
Ja, kom er maar in, joh. Wat gaan we allemaal doen vandaag?
Ja? Maar hoor ik niks.
Hoor je mij niet? Schiet op je op.
Ik hoor niks.
Mijn microfoon staat open. Bij mij staat die open. En volgens mijn ding is, staat jouw microfoon dicht. Maar ik hoor jou wel.
Hallo.
Het is weer zo laat. Is het weer zo laat? De ruiten erin. Is dat wat? Ja. Eruit en erin. Ondertussen hebben we muziek uitgezocht. Hallo, ik hoor nul. Ja, we gaan even. Oh, doe ik het weer? Oh, dat is het natuurlijk. Nu heb ik alles verpest. Oh, tjonge jonge. Oh, het komt weer terug. Dus zeg maar met deze muziek. Ik heb nu ook een inrichting van het scherm. Ik denk, wat is er aan de hand? Hoe kan ik ophangen? Hier, oh hier zit het. Ik ga er even uit als het lukt. Want je hoort me nog steeds niet, hè? Het is weer kut met peren. Oké. We gaan het weer helemaal anders oplossen. Gaan we ook opnieuw starten, joh, dan? Ja. Met de telefoon in Jitsi, met die echo, dan gaan we het proberen weg te mixen. Dat was mijn idee. Maar nu hoor ik jou ook totaal niet. Of kan ik wel in dit zien als ik vergelijk met jou? Hey, oh, je zegt wat. Ja, maar ik breng nog niet uit. Oh ja, ik ga weer uit, Jitsi. Oké, ga ik zo in.
Bent u daar? Nee. Pom, 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 pom.
Ja, klopt. Maar ik ben via de microfoon en Jo hoort mij niet. Hans hoort ons allebei. Dank. Weet je wat er gebeurt als ik de mixer openzet hier op de computer, dan valt het geluid weg. Dit is heel onhandig, want ik dacht dat ik daarmee kan wat volume kon regelen of iets, maar nou, niet doen. We kunnen luisteren trouwens in de tussentijd dat we het regelen even naar het Aegean Boat Report webinar met Tommy Olsen.
So welcome to everybody who's coming in.
Ik ben in de studio.
Welcome to this session. I see the numbers are adding up quickly. Good afternoon. I'll just keep repeating this a little bit. Until we got a number here. Welcome you all to this webinar of Aegean Boat Report. Very good to see you here. We'll take a couple of minutes just to make sure everybody's in the room. And there might be still people popping in, but once we start, Tommy?
We can go to commercial break.
Exactly. Are you sponsored by them?
No. Really bad.
Really bad. No, yeah. It's old people.
Usually, no, I have one of these, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we need a bit of caffeine.
Yeah, I definitely needed sugar today. I've had a rough... rough day. So how are we looking at people getting in?
Yeah, we'll take a couple of minutes just to fill this. I thought if we started at 8:05, but if you're here and you really need to get yourself a coffee or
8 minutes,
you still got
even a stukje overslaan
to do it. And then we'll start. There's at the moment 42 people, 43 people in the room and counting.
I will get my coffee.
Yeah, 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 for sure, Tommy. Do it. You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, that was in my... Hopefully can make it.
Is at this moment that there's a Q&A option on the bottom of your screen, usually, depending on, of course, what kind of Zoom you're using. But there's a, it's called Q&A in Dutch. It's called V&A, and it has a little question mark. And that's where you can pose your questions. You can pose these questions whenever you want. You can start filling it up already or do it while we are talking. So please find this V&A. If you found it, you can already drop a thumbs up in the chat, if you found the chat. And maybe if that's if you have found the chat, you can also drop your the country you're in the chat. That might be interesting to see. I'm from the Netherlands. Maybe you're still getting your coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. Machine is almost done.
That's all right. That's all right. Welcome you all. Welcome everyone.
Probably could have muted my microphone while the coffee was brewing, but I didn't.
Oh, good. We can hear you. Nice. Oh, good. There is lots of thumbs up in the Q&A, so that's at least working. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Now you're putting your countries in the Q&A, that's fine too. We just have to move towards questions soon. But at least it's very good to see that we've got people from Switzerland, United States, Greece, Italy, Greece, and Serbia. One person. Lesbos, Sweden, United Kingdom, more of the Netherlands, Belgium, United States. So really good to see. And it's 5 past. So, Tommy, are you ready to start this thing with us all?
Yeah, I think we should get started. Nice. Hopefully more people will be joining us. And I don't know if we have said this is being recorded.
It's... Is it? Yeah. No, we haven't yet. So that's good to tell you all.
It's been recorded for those who... is missing it or didn't reach home in time, we will send send the video on the request to those who has already signed it or registered.
Ja, dan hebben we echo terug, omdat het microfoontje het niet doet.
Want it, Tommy.
Yeah.
Then they can have it.
Zullen we herstarten?
Ja,
ik weet niet wat ik aan het doen ben. Ik hoor die vergadering nu op de radio. Jitsi, is dat wat de luisteraar hoort?
And you're part of it. So.
Ja, maar het is, hij moet nog beginnen met praten. Very welcome, very happy nog niet to welcome gezegd, you here. Is alleen hallo, welkom.
My name is Rikke Voorberg. Ja.
Nee, je kan op 8 minuten ongeveer instarten.
I'll be your host tonight, asking Tommy some of the questions that I have.
Ja, dus je moet nog even verder spoelen naar 8 minuten.
Give the floor to you all and the questions that you've put in the Q&A or the
V&A.
Nog niet.
Somehow. Okay. To choose a couple of these.
We gaan naar 8 minuten.
Tell me and see what we get from it. It's from 8 to 9. The vibe of this session is.
Heb je al de tune en zo gedaan?
Friends of Agent Boat Report, because that's where this whole thing started with. A crowdfunding action to keep Agent Boat Report up in the air.
Ik sta niet, want ik hoor de uitzending ook. Dus dat is even stoppen. Much needed.
And we're very thankful that Tommy is able to continue his work so far. So that's extremely helpful. And we hope he can continue for a long time with the support of all of you and more. And by that, we are an important lifeline for those crossing on the sea between Turkey and Greece. Tommy, very happy to have you here. Can you, in two sentences...
Ik begrijp eigenlijk niet waarom je de uitzending op Jitsi hoort.
In two sentences.
Nee, begrijp ik ook niet.
My
heel
main
irritant.
Job is to assist people who ask
is
for
dat
assistance.
Ook de bron van de echo?
Either in the agency or already arrived.
Nee, ik zou zeggen, stuur gewoon direct in die meeting uit en bekijk het verder.
And will always be to assist
dit is gewoon pijnhoop.
But
ik
vind het
niet
leuk.
Ik heb al geprobeerd Misha te contacteren.
Right violations.
Lukte niet.
Nee, wat nou, ik had het ook wel mee.
My main job is the hotline. Where I answer,
zet lekker die dingen uit vanaf 8 minuten en doe de tune.
En
who needs assistance?
How was last night, Tommy?
Well, last night was actually quiet. Only two calls.
Hier kun je beginnen. Ja, precies. Last night.
Some nights you can have 10.
Zet hem even stil. Dan rond ik even af met jou. En dan gaan we hiermee verder.
Ja.
Oké. Nou ja, goed. Volgende week. Bafau.
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 Forever.
Right.
De hele tijd.
Ja, de hele tijd.
Ja.
En dan nu. Na de knip.
Radio.
Teranga afgelopen.
Presenteert. De geheime notulen. In gesproken woord. Van een vergadering. Van mensensmokkelaars. Nee. Niet van mensen.
Is volgende week?
Ja.
Reet is spannend.
Mensen zoals Tommy Olsen van Aegean Boat Report. Hij gaat zelf vertellen wat hij doet aan Rico Voorberg, die de moderator, de moderator van dienst is. Tommy Olsen zit in Noorwegen en die helpt bootvluchtelingen. Let's go.
Well, my main job is to assist people who ask for assistance, either in the agency or already arrived. On some Greek island. This is my main objective and will always be to assist people first. But I'm perhaps more known for documenting and publishing about human rights violations. And it's also a part of my job, but not my main. My main job is the hotline where I answer calls usually at night from people who need assistance.
Yeah, how was last night, Tommy?
Well, last night was actually quiet, only two calls. It's not usually like that. Some nights you can have 10, 15, 20 calls, not from 15 or 20 groups, but from different people, some in the same group, some people in distress at sea who needs to be rescued. So it's difficult to plan.
Yeah, so you don't have any clue what happened once you pick up that phone. You don't have any clue what happened. It can be people screaming in distress. It can be people asking for information. It can be just anything, right? What was it last night, these two calls?
Well, it was two boats drifting in Turkish waters. Not as far as I knew about any pushbacks. Basically, the engines broke down. So I had to call the Turkish Coast Guard. And provide the position of these two boats, and people were found fairly quickly afterwards.
How do you know that they were found? Do they tell you?
Well, and the people usually don't tell me anything afterwards because they are perhaps not happy being back in Turkey. But I do follow-ups with the Coast Guard on all calls that I have, usually in the morning. Depending on what kind of case it was, if it was a severe distress case, I will do follow-ups during the night. But this morning I had a call with the Coast Guard and they provided information regarding these two cases.
So the Coast Guard is in touch with you then?
Well, I call them when I do the follow-ups, yeah.
Yeah, so you check on them yourself. So that was last night, relatively calm, but relatively calm means that you get two calls of people who are in the middle of the sea with a broken down motor in a flimsy boat. That's calm in your life, right? That's not what's happened to most of us. But what were your highs and lows of the last week?
Well, the last weeks and months have been fairly quiet. compared to last year. But we are in kind of a down season. It's been winter time. Usually January, February, and especially March is very quiet. Now it's perhaps 60 to 70% down since last year. I have more time on my hands. Unfortunately, there are many distress cases at sea. These cases are very difficult because there is no rescue vessels in the agency. We can't call an organization to come and rescue them. We are, I have to rely on the Coast Guard on both sides. And as you perhaps know, the Greek Coast Guard isn't always interested in picking people up and rescuing them. So it can be a hassle. This week, I have had arrivals on most of the main islands. Mm. They have contacted me after arrival. All arrivals has been accounted for and taken to camp. People are hiding on these islands when they arrive because they're scared what might happen to them, basically based on their previous experience. They have been pushed back 5, 10, 15 times before. Some have been beaten. Some have been placed in life rafts. So they have the right to be scared. And for this reason, they are hiding and don't trust authorities much. So my job will be to first perhaps calm them down and try to explain that you won't be pushed back from these islands. You are on Lesbos or Chios or Samos. And you are safe. And then I try to get them to move to some more habited area, to a road, a church, crossroads, something. And then also I try to provide them with information so they themselves can call the local organization and be picked up. Of course, in many cases, I call the police, but this is how it works, basically. We have arrivals on Lesbos, on Samos and Chios, and also on some of the smaller islands around, like Kastalarissou. It's kind of, yeah. during high season, it's very close to Turkey.
Mm.
You don't need binoculars to see Turkey. It's extremely close. But the area is heavily guarded on the Turkish side. But now, lately, we have had many boats in this area.
That's new.
For the season, yeah. It's the first 5-6 boats on Kastalarissou for this season. It's an island that usually people have been pushed back from previously.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, the arrivals on this island haven't been pushed back, and that's a positive. But it's a difficult island to arrive on because there is no organization, there is no support, there is no camp. So you have to rely on the local police and the Coast Guard. And for those arriving, that's difficult many times.
So what do you do? Like last week, did anybody arrive at that island?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
Well, they usually arrive close to the airport. So I basically tell them to move towards the airport.
Mm.
As soon as they close us in on the airport, they are usually spotted. Because there is basically nothing else we can do. I can guide them to a more populated area so that they can be seen by locals.
Yeah.
Of course, in the past, I have published cases when they arrive to try to get the Greek authorities to do the right thing, to say that we know they are here. Here are the pictures. Here are the videos. And then people are being taken care of. Unfortunately, in some cases, they haven't. And then we find them in life rafts some hours later.
Yeah. Tommy, you're not on one of those islands. You're not in Turkey. You're not in Greece. Some people might think like, hey, he's reporting on these boats all the time, so he might be there. But you're at home, way up north in Europe. Can you tell a little bit about that life? Because usually people sleep at night, but that's the time when people cross. So you're on your phone at night. What does your day look like? Or your night? You're 24 hours.
Well, usually daytime I do work on the computer. I publish things, I write. And depending on the night, it can start around 9-10 at night with calls coming in. But usually it's after 2-3 o'clock, perhaps early morning, depending on the case. Distress at sea can happen very early at night. Arrival cases is usually at first light. So yeah, the night is pretty much occupied when it's hectic.
Yeah.
When things are quiet, I go to sleep and I wake up with a phone. Wow. When something happens. So I can try to sleep 5-6 times a night and be woken up. Some nights I don't sleep at all. Then I have to catch up during the day. I don't have a good sleeping pattern.
No, sleep experts would say that's very, very unhealthy.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Right?
I try to get 5 hours sleep, like continuous 5 hours. But usually then I have to sleep during the day.
Yeah. Hey, and you have a family.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, I think they have gotten used to this. I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been working in this.
Right. Yeah.
And running the Gibraltar board for 7. So this is the 8th year, actually. So they have gotten very used to me being up all hours, perhaps a bit cranky in the morning. Perhaps a couple of years ago it was an issue.
Mm.
I have to go sleep in another bedroom because my wife was woken up many times during the night.
Of course, yeah.
And that's not good. So, but it works for some reason. I don't know why. They put up with me. That's kind of one thing, I guess.
Why the sacrifice, Tommy? Why do you do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Many have asked this question. Why do you put yourself in this spot? And it wasn't intended to be like this. I started up a small group on Facebook that was meant to inform people on what was going on Lesbos. It wasn't intended to be anything more.
That's with the report in the name, right? You're just reporting stuff.
Aegean boat report.
Yeah,
Aegean, exactly. The area boats are reported on boats on arrivals.
Yeah.
This is the name. This was the intention. Things changed. Also the situation in Europe and especially in the Aegean changed. I started seeing things that, I don't know, perhaps surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to how people are treated. So that was kind of the start of it, the feeling of injustice.
What did you see that this injustice, where are these injustices that you saw?
Well, you can turn to all parts of the world to find this, but it's the treatment of people different from ourselves, especially. Mm. And I have been standing on the beaches of Lesbos for a very long time, taking in people from all walks of life. But that's it. They are people.
And they're not treated like that.
I don't think so. They are being... Well, we have laws, we have rules for a reason. And when these laws are broken, there should be consequences
mm-hmm.
for those doing it. And when I see that governments can go around doing whatever they want and get away with it time after time again, yeah, it bothers me. Okay, I live in Norway. I'm fairly well off. I'm not used to this injustice by state was for me totally new. Of course, I know things are going on around in the world, but Greece for me was kind of the place I went on holiday since I was a kid. Nice people, good food, and good atmosphere. And when I started seeing these, especially these pushbacks, increasing drastically in 2020, first I had problems believing it was happening, and then I started investigating this and eventually publishing about it. And perhaps there it started me speaking out about this.
Hey, just 15 minutes ago, sorry, Emanuela, I didn't catch that. You're talking about which island? That small island that you talked about, what's the name of it?
Castellarizo.
Castellarizo. Okay, yeah. I hope you get that, Emanuela. Thank you for your question. And there's another one. This is an interesting question. You always said, like, hey, all the critique, that's all. I love it. Let them come, as long as if it's like in good manners. And this question is, there's a lot of people that don't have the resources or the will to make this illegal journey to Europe. And is it not deeply unfair to the rule followers when Europe rewards rule breakers with residency, food, shelter, education, and cash? Wouldn't it not be less risky for vulnerable people to give them assistance in their own countries? Sorry if indelicately framed.
Well, yeah, first, they're not coming illegally.
Exactly, yeah, right. How do you explain?
We have, as I said previously, a system and rules. Anyone crossing a border with the intent to apply for asylum, it's not crossing the border illegally. They are in the right to cross this border. And they are also the right for individual assessments of their case. So it's kind of, yes, of course, we can help many people where they are. It's a good thought. But when there are wars going on, this is kind of difficult. We did it with Ukraine. We had no issues taking in 4 or 5 million people into Europe. Mm-hmm. We provided them with what they needed. And we should, most definitely. But yeah, we should also be able to do the same with people from other countries who are fleeing war, prosecution, or even starvation. So we can provide for many people where they are. But under certain circumstances, they must flee, and most of us would have. If our houses have been bombed, you take your kids and you do whatever you can to get to safety, because they have a basic right to life. So I don't have any better answer to that question, but and it's a very long debate many have had.
No, but this is a very important, because it's confusing that lots of media say that there is it's illegal to cross these borders, while it's legal if you ask for asylum. It's just irregular. That's a word that's being used, and that's a good one.
Unfortunately, they most are now calling it illegal migration.
Yeah.
So
So there's a confusion. So thanks for that question. Hey, some time ago, we started a crowdfunding session for you, and that has to do with this question, because we were talking, I think, in September about it, that I found out. I mean, of course, like many, I know your work, you talked about it, and you said, hey, this funding is going out of the window, the funding you had, and I have to close down shop, which basically raised the alarms of me and many people, Ingeborg and others, being like, hey, at some point this lifeline will go dead. People will call and there won't be an answer. At least that was like the darkest and very clearest point of stepping into action. The reason that it went that the funding went off had to do with this question of Panos. Quite some time ago, ABR's work was given publicity in Greece, and there was an effort by media and various anti-refugee parties and groups to defame it. Did you have any problems with the authorities in Greece since then, with lawsuits, prosecution? If so, how is it going?
Yeah, it's a Yes, I had problems with the Greek authorities. Have had since 2020, beginning of 2021. There have been, as far as we know, 8 major, really serious investigations into the Egypt Boat Report and myself, from human trafficking, espionage, money laundering, you name it, everything has been used, and it has been published quite frequently and wide in the Greek press when these so-called secret investigations have been taken place. I was usually alerted to these investigations through the Greek media, where I was mostly basically convicted and stamped as a criminal. And I currently have 1 arrest warrant on me in Greece from Kos. This arrest warrant is also, according to the investigators, they are trying to get it also international. Mm. So they are trying to basically silence not only critics, but they are silencing those who perhaps do the most harm to what they are currently doing.
Yeah. What does it mean, Tommy, for you? Can they knock on your door now, for example, or does it have any other consequences to your work or your life, these lawsuits?
Well, the current arrest warrant on me, yes, they can, Norwegian police cannot tomorrow or next week or next month knock on my door because the Greek authorities have requested me to be extradited. There is no heads up notice from authorities on that. So that could happen. It's not very likely at where things stand at the moment because Greek authorities know they have a really bad case. But for them, I think it's more important to keep the case where it's at. I have an arrest warrant on me. I'm being suspected of being a criminal. I've been published hundreds of times in the Greek press that I am a criminal. And they want to keep it like that. And of course, not go through a court case where I will be acquitted. That wouldn't help. So to keep the case where it's at, it's perhaps the best.
For them,
and
right?
Yes, this have had some effect on me. I haven't traveled out of Norway for the last 2 years.
Because you could be arrested there?
Because we never know when this international arrest warrant will suddenly be effective.
Wow. It's a very effective strategy by Greek authorities, this threat.
Yeah. And of course, it's public. It's a public threat. My work depends on funding. Always has, some through donations and some through organizations supporting. So from time to time, I have to apply for funds. And I have to be honest with my situation that I'm actually have. It's not normal to have an arrest warrant on you. That's kind of something. Usually you are a criminal when you have one. So I have to be honest when I apply. And that's usually the reason why I'm not getting any funds, because any board will be reluctant to provide money to a potential criminal.
Yeah, they might even have
how
it.
Unlikely.
Sorry, yeah.
No matter how unlikely it is, they I've been told to come back when this legal issues has been resolved. Usually that takes between 6 and 10 years. It have very deep financial consequences for me because I'm not getting enough funds in to actually maintain operation. And that was the situation when you guys contacted me last year. Actually had decided to close down the organization because I have to put food on the table as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, that was a very dire situation, and only then I understood how this strategy works. That even often in the basic rules of an organization is that you can't provide money to somebody that's having these kinds of things over their head by an authority you should normally trust. So of course, just money goes out of the window. And then we started thinking like, okay, but what are resources that we can use if these official things can't be used? And then it's people. So yeah, that's where we started to do this crowdfunding that went even, well, way, way bigger and way faster and way quicker than we ever could imagine. Of course, there's still a lot needed, but to see all these people stand up and say, hey, we know Agent Boat's report, or we know Tommy, or we are very happy that we got to know Tommy and we want to support him. And that was quite a moment. How was that for you?
We spoke about this a couple of days ago, and it was kind of strange, because I work alone. I usually don't, I run the organization alone. I do everything by myself. I don't have to ask permission for things that I do. I just do it. But I don't feel any much support from a community, since most of this community basically don't want to talk to me, not because they don't want to, but they are advised not to, because I'm a person of interest of the Greek authorities and have been involved in a lot of different cases. So they try to not talk to me.
So organizations that are involved in this situation are advised not to talk to you?
Yeah, organizations working especially then in Greece.
Yeah.
On the ground, it is unhealthy to be talking to Agent Boat Report, because in Greece, I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
And I have an arrest warrant on me. There has been a lot of different issues regarding contact that organizations and people have had with me. People have been put in jail, arrested. I understand that they want to keep a fair distance and not have daily communications with me. I do have communication with people in Greece, but not much official communications. It's even difficult to get replies on emails.
Lots of isolation there, basically. And then these people come in.
Yeah. So I have had fundraisers online, on Facebook, many times. Had been partially successful. It's been good. But this time I was kind of in a place where I had decided to close it down. I had made all preparations. Everything was decided when it was going to happen. Even written everything that was going to be published regarding me closing down. And it was just lying there waiting for the right dates. I will publish it. So everything was, basically no other option. So this was the decision I have made. And some part of me said, okay, you have done your bit. It's okay.
More than your bit, yeah.
So when this happened, I think it came as a shock. The support I felt was more than I was able to put out in words. Of course, I tried my best to thank the group who started, but it's many times difficult. So I was thrown a lifeline from you and from the group, and I grabbed it with both hands. But it wasn't sure it was going to be a success.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And it's still, and I have to admit, I'm not out of the woods yet.
No, you're still
hanging on.
It
still needs funding, but we are in a much better place, more positive place than I were in September last year. Now we have much of the funding in place. But we have some more steps to go.
And that's everybody here realize that. It's incredible. Also, emotional shift that you made, like back to the work, back to being the lifeline of those people in need, which on one hand you want, and the other hand takes a lot of toll. So, and now we're here, standing around you, with funding, can be very small amounts per month, but just having that basic funding is a big thing, and it still needs a lot to keep this thing going and to make it a team effort. But otherwise, it will be absolutely unsustainable and not doable. Even if you go ahead, it's still when you go ahead, it's still very, very, very hard. There's some practical questions. Can I get to that?
Yeah.
Cool. Tasula asks, how do you handle language barriers with callers to the hotline? What are the primary languages used in your communication and with authorities, etc.? How's your Greek and Turkish?
Really bad. When it comes to the contact with people asking for assistance, I try to, many do call, yes. Some speak English, very broken, difficult to understand. So we quickly move over to text. For their sake and for my sake, we can use Google Translate. That's kind of the tool we can use. I have from time to time, depending on the situation, translators at hand that I can use. They are refugees themselves. Some of them I have helped after they arrived. So from time to time, I use translators when things are quiet. We try to use Google Translate and text. It's also easier for me to document whatever has been said and go back, because a call is for me difficult to document if I don't record it and store it. So usually there isn't much problems. If I understand, because people text me in Arabic, I try to ask them if they speak English. And if they reply to me in English, that's good. If not, I write back in their language and we do it on their terms. When I talk to the Greek Coast Guard and the Turkish Coast Guard, I use English. And that's usually not a problem, especially not on the Turkish side. On the Greek side, they try from time to time to claim they don't speak English, just to drag out time. But English is the preferred language.
Cool. There's another completely different one. Somebody interested in working with you, which is always good. Says, hey, I'm a huge admirer of your work. Are there jobs available or in this field in general? What do you suggest for someone who wishes to make meaningful contributions to this very important work? If there are no paid roles with AGM Boat Report, are there volunteer options available?
We seems like I'm several people. I've kind of been used to this group of Rico and the team, so I really started to use the word we. EJ Boat Report definitely need support and assistance with many things. We have, I don't know if we have put out the form yet, Rico, but we are looking for people doing different things. One is social media content. So I'm looking for someone who is more skilled than me to navigate these new platforms to basically get a broader audience, especially young people. Facebook and X and Instagram is kind of, at least according to my kids, only for old people. And I have tried learning these new platforms, and I'm over 50. I can't.
Social media is definitely a thing.
Then I'm looking for someone who can assist when it comes to fundraising. Someone with experience in similar kind of work. So these are two things. I think it was three things on the list.
I'm just dropping now the form in the chat.
Yeah.
So it's not in the questions answer, but it's in the chat. And we are basically looking for three kinds of support: fundraising support, social media content, and also organizers of this webinar, which is going to be a monthly webinar with updates, staying in touch, etc. So we would love to put a bit of a team together. So there's definitely help needed. So check the chat. If you can't find it, drop a message somewhere, and definitely Johannes or I will get back to you with the form. So
and also
happy. Yeah,
also I have had many different kinds of volunteers coming in working over the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that people want to get involved, but I need people for the long run and not for a couple of months. It takes a lot of time to shape a person into what you want them to be when they work for you. And the things you put into it, if it's gone after a couple of months, it's just not worth it. There is no pay. So that's also an issue. I'm looking for volunteers, yes.
Yeah, well, if you're a very good fundraiser, you might have a chance raising your own funds. No, of course, at the moment it's so limited. So there's definitely volunteers needed for the long run. That would definitely be helpful. There is a question on somebody who was in Lesbos since December 2024. Visited Vastria area where the new camp is being developed. I heard, I think a week ago or something, that it's almost ready. There's just a little bit of question still about all the fire regulations, the nature, and the road. But apart from that, there's quite a devilish camp, if you ask me. But what are your thoughts about sheltering people at all versus sheltering them in such a camp?
Well, if you have to choose between nothing and that, the question is quite obvious. Yes, they have to use it. But I think the location this camp was created in, it was in a protected wood that was kind of not allowed to even chop down a tree. And then they do this monstrous thing. And then the camp is placed where it's very difficult to reach a city or a store. And this is intentionally, and it's been done like this on all the other islands. They put it in the worst of places so that they are out of sight and have problems getting back and forth to get things done. If you want to see a lawyer, if you want to visit an organization because you need clothes, if you want to go shopping, this is made very difficult. And the situation or the conditions in these camps who are up and running at the moment is despicable.
Yeah, can you give an example of what that is?
Well, Samos minors, that would be people under 18 who comes alone, are in practically in jail without any school, without too little food. Hygiene is terrible. There was something published actually today on Solomon regarding the camp on Samos. It's a EU-funded camp where they treat people. It's not a place you want to put your kids in.
Where was that published, Tommy?
Solomon, I believe.
Solomon Report or something, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, I published a link to it on EGBotaBot, both on Facebook and on X. But this isn't the first. This has been many reports on really bad conditions on Samos for a very long time. and there is little done about it, basically. So I think the question is kind of strange, this or nothing. Well, it's like asking me, do you want to live or die? Then I will choose to live any day, if that was the two options. I don't think that these prisons on the island is the solution. It's closed, controlled. Just listen to the name. It's closed, controlled access centers. Exactly.
Yep.
You are talking double fencing, barbed wire, cameras following you everywhere, gates with they use some new technology moving in and out. They can keep you in for months if you don't have the right access card. The food there is really bad. Organizations are not let in to monitor. It's a prison. And we didn't put Ukrainians in prisons when they arrived. I don't think we should put people from other countries in these prisons.
No. Are they transit center? More like transit centers? Like temporary, or are they actual camps?
They are definitely actual camps. People are spending months and months and probably years in these camps. And it's not a transit camp. Of course, it depends how long is the transit. If the transit is three years, yes, it's a transit camp. But people stay there for a very long time before they are being transported to the mainland. It's a broken system, basically. Yeah.
This information, somebody asked, like, hey, what resources, lots of compliments for this moment, by the way, and what resources do you recommend to stay informed in regards to Greece response, the EU response, new arrivals, changes on the process, general awareness, etc., ideally in English? What is the best place to go to for information?
There was a lot of things in that. I don't think there is one platform to get all this information. You have to be online, of course, if you want to know about arrivals and pushbacks, you go to Aegean Boat Report. If you want to know what's happening in the Med, you perhaps go to Alarm Phone. It depends on what kind of information you want. But to go on the UNHCR website, you will find some information, but definitely not everything. You have IOM, who publish a lot, especially statistics. And there is a lot of Greek organization who do splendid work. Mm-hmm. So there is not one place to find everything you want, unfortunately. You have the Greek Organization for Refugees, who is doing a great job. I could probably have listed 15, 20, 30 organizations who do tremendous good work and publish a lot.
And of course, on your channels, they are, just take this chance to pitch your channels. It's Facebook.
I have the Aegean Boat Report website. I'm on Facebook and on X, Instagram, and on Blue Sky and Threads.
Yeah.
The two last, I try, but as I said, I need someone to actually do this properly. But main information is on X and Facebook. If you're looking for statistics, pushbacks, investigative cases, I would suggest aegeanboatreport.com.
And please, if you can, also share this website and these channels, so to help raise awareness about what's happening, also about this monthly webinars, which will be happening if you get it all done with a little help of you all. Hey, another question is about the Norwegian government. What do they make of your work? Are you in dialogue with them all? This Anna is from Sweden. They say we have the worst government of all times. Probably debatable, because there's more people claiming for having the worst government of all times. And they despise anyone who works with people on the move. It makes it hard to get funds. That's in Sweden. So how is your dialogue?